Hello, cartoon fans, and welcome to today's 2025 91.1 Players presentation of Cartoons on the Radio. I'm your host, Mike Jenkins. Today's show will be in honor of one of the greatest voice actors in the world of animation.
So sorry I'm late. Pardon me. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Coming through. There we go.
May I continue? As I was saying, today's broadcast honors one of the greatest voice actors of our time.
Oh, drat! I can't see the stage. Madam, could I please bother you to remove your hat?
Hello, Wabbit.
Eek! It's you.
I've got you this time, you rascally Wabbit.
Oh, dear. Pardon me. Excuse me. I beg your pardon. Coming through. Excuse me.
Pardon me. Excuse me. Coming through. Oh, I lost him. Where did that rascally Wabbit go? Excuse me, madam. Have you seen a long-eared gray Wabbit around here?
Usher! Usher! This man is causing a disturbance. Usher!
Hey, that's no lady. It's the Wabbit. You're coming with me, Wabbit.
Ah, unhand me, you masher. Help! Usher! Usher!
Ow!
I'm going to have to ask you to leave, sir.
You can't throw me out. I'm an honored guest here tonight. I'm Elmer Fudd. I own a mansion and a yacht.
Sorry, sir. No refunds.
Oh, I'll get that rascally Wabbit if it's the last thing I do.
Now, maybe I can settle in and enjoy this show in peace.
May I continue now?
You may proceed, mon capitaine.
Thank you. As I was saying, today we pay tribute to Mel Blanc, the man of a thousand voices. He is considered to be one of the most influential voice actors of all time and is credited with the production of over 5,000 different cartoons. Mel's connection to his art is so profound that Bugs Bunny is credited with saving his life. Following a car accident in 1961, Mel Blanc was completely non-responsive and in a coma. One of his neurosurgeons tried a new approach to reach his subconscious mind and asked him,
Bugs Bunny, how are you doing today?
To everyone's surprise, Mel responded weakly,
Meh, what's up, Doc?
Although Mel died in 1989 at the age of 81, his legacy lives on in his many beloved characters, the most popular of which is Bugs Bunny.
I object. I object to that statement. I have more talent in my little finger than that two-bit hack of a rabbit has in his entire body.
Quiet, Daffy. Have some respect.
Stop trying to steal my spotlight, rabbit. I will not be silenced.
Oh, yeah? We'll see about that. Usher! Usher!
Is this person bothering you?
Why, yes.
Come on, you troublemaker, out. Let's go.
Rabbit. You're despicable.
You gotta get up pretty early to outfox this rabbit.
Okay, I give up. So much for my formal introduction. The 32-time award-winning 91.1 Players now proudly present Cartoons on the Radio, a tribute to Mel Blanc.
Oh, Camp Town ladies, sing this song, do-da. Do da do da 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 do da da do do da da. Now what? I say what in tarnation has that dog worked into such a lather? I can't hear myself think with all that infernal racket going on. Dog, I say dog. Hey dog.
Ow, my head! Put down the frying pan.
Pay attention when I talk to you.
Ow! Quit hitting me, mangy chicken.
Mangy chicken? How dare you? I'll have you know I'm proud to be 100% purebred American Rhode Island Red Rooster.
Well, la-dee-da. What you are is an idiot chicken.
Shut up, dog.
Ow, that's it. Give me that frying pan.
Fine, take it. Why were you barking your fool head off anyway?
See that truck over there?
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so it's a delivery truck.
Again, that is again, I say, so what?
So every fool knows that delivery people and dogs are mortal enemies.
I say the only fool here I see is the one that chose a truck as an enemy.
Oh, agree to disagree.
Looks like that there truck is coming this way.
I see that, Captain Obvious. Now excuse me, I have a truck to catch.
I say that dog just ain't right in the head. Oh, well, will you look at that? Did your dog actually chase away the truck?
Mission accomplished.
Welcome back. You look pretty darn proud of yourself.
I am. Some of us actually work for a living instead of freeloading like certain individuals I could mention. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah, I remember.
Why, see, why are you picking up that frying pan?
It's payback time, chicken.
Hey, stop hitting me.
When the driver sped away, the back doors of the vehicle accidentally opened and several boxes fell off the truck. Many never made it to their intended destinations. Let's follow this missing package situation up, shall we? We now take you to visit the home of a very sweet little old lady. Her name is Emma Webster, but these days everyone calls her Granny.
I'm a tweet little bird in a gilded cage. Tweety's my name, but I don't know my age.
Oh, I so love to hear your songs, Tweety.
Thank you, Granny.
Listening to you sing almost makes me forget about the awful weather outside.
It looks cold out there.
I think I'm going to make a nice big mug of hot cocoa. Do you want anything, Tweety?
Just some birdseed, Granny.
One bowl of premium birdseed coming right up. Oh, my. We are almost out of the seed mix you like so much. I do wonder where the packages with the birdseed are. They were scheduled to be delivered today.
Don't worry, Granny. I am sure they will be here soon.
I hope so. I can't have my precious little Tweety bird going hungry now, can I? Now let's see. What else can Tweety birds eat? Let's see. I have cookies, snack cakes, toast with raspberry jam. I'm sure I'll find something tasty for you to eat.
I love you, Granny.
Oh, I love you too, my sweet, sweet little birdie.
As Granny searched her cupboards for food, a shivering black and white cat named Sylvester was peering into the window.
Bleh, kissy, kissy, kissy. You don't kiss birds, you eat birds. Here I am outside starving while that stupid bird is warm inside and being treated like royalty. Oh, I'm so cold and hungry. I have an idea.
Is there someone outside, Tweety?
I thought I saw a putty tat. I did saw a putty tat.
Oh, you poor dear kitty. Come here, kitty. Let's get you inside and warmed up. There you go. All safely wrapped in blankets and in a wicker basket right by the fire. What a good kitty. You must be hungry. Let's see, here's some milk, but I don't have any kitty food. Oh, I guess I'll need to go to the store after all. Look after our guest, Tweety. I'll be back soon with Din-Dins.
Sylvester crawled out of the basket and peered outside. As soon as he saw the taillights of Granny's car disappear, he looked back at the canary.
The old lady's gone. Now's my chance.
With an evil chuckle, the cat slunk across the carpet and perched on the top of the sofa, peering in through the cage bars at the bird, who was swinging on his perch singing.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up, up, up the world. Hello, Mr. Putty Tat.
Well, hello, lunch.
Sylvester stretched his arm toward the birdcage, which was just very slightly out of his reach. One of his claws hooked the door of the cage. The entire enclosure began to swing back and forth.
Hold still, bird!
Hey! Help! Help! I'm getting seasick!
As Sylvester tried to free his claw from the now swinging cage, he grabbed onto the nearby curtains. Things didn't go as Sylvester planned as the curtains, curtain rod, and birdcage all came crashing down.
Oh, look what you did, you bad old putty tat. Granny's gonna be so mad.
Granny isn't here right now.
Oh, I got a bad feeling about this.
Lunchtime!
Help! Help! The bad old putty tat is after me. Help! Somebody help!
Tweety flew around the room with Sylvester only inches behind him.
Hold still, you flying morsel!
You bad old putty tat.
Pictures came off walls, vases and figurines flew off shelves and smashed as Sylvester chased Tweety around the room. There was so much noise that nobody heard the sound of Granny's car pulling up outside. Granny opened the door just as Sylvester had Tweety between his paws.
I've got you now!
Granny, help! Granny!
Eek! Tweety!
Granny watched in horror as Sylvester quickly popped the bird into his mouth.
Drop it! Drop it, bad cat! Drop it!
Blech.
Tweety landed on the floor in front of Granny.
Yuck, you bad old putty tat!
Oh, my poor little dear Tweety bird. I'm so sorry, my love. I shouldn't have left you alone.
Sylvester slunk away and hid behind the grocery bags.
Oh, and just look at my house. Look at the mess you've made. Oh, my.
And then Granny started to cry as she picked up the pieces of a statue broken during the chase.
Oh, that figurine was from my husband.
It's okay, Granny. You will always have me.
Seeing the kind old lady crying, Sylvester had a realization. He found that he liked this old lady. He crawled out from where he was hiding. He looked up with an expression asking for forgiveness that only a cat can make. Then he pushed his head into her leg and began purring.
I guess he's not such a bad old putty tat after all.
Granny heard Sylvester's purr and it was instant forgiveness. Tweety and Sylvester reached an uneasy truce. But even the most pampered house cat still wants to hunt mice. Sylvester was continually thwarted by the fastest mouse in all of Mexico, Speedy Gonzales. Speedy Gonzales and his cousin, Slowpoke Rodriguez, caused a bit of a controversy when Cartoon Network purchased the right to broadcast the original shows in 1999. Because of concerns about portraying negative stereotypes of people of Hispanic descent, the network refused to play episodes featuring these characters. Interestingly, the Hispanic community came together to protest the banning of these shows and petitioned to have Speedy brought back on the air. Follow us now over the border where Granny, Tweety, and Sylvester are on vacation in beautiful Cozumel, Mexico.
I do so love vacationing at all these inclusive resorts. Don't you, Tweety?
Yes, Granny, it's so warm and sunny
and
here.
And all the birdseed you could want.
Oh, don't mention food.
Oh, poor Putty is still seasick from the cruise over here.
Poor Sylvester.
Blech. I'm going back to bed.
Okay, Putty, me and Granny are going into town. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Good night. Go away. Leave me alone.
Having fun was the last thing on Sylvester's mind. As he lay in the room trying to sleep, he heard music. Music gradually increased in volume. Sylvester put his pillow over his head trying to rest, but the volume of the music continued to increase. Unable to block out the growing noise, Sylvester got up to investigate where the noise was coming from. He eventually discovered a mouse hole in the wall of their room.
Quiet down! I'm trying to sleep!
However, the music did not quiet down. If anything, it got louder.
Quiet! I mean it!
As Sylvester continued to pound on the wall, a mouse wearing a sombrero stepped out of the mouse hole.
Hola, senor. Are you here to deliver the tortilla shells we ordered?
Only yourself, mouth. I'm no delivery boy. I need you to keep it down.
Oh, I'm afraid I cannot, senor. We are celebrating the quinceanera of my good amiga senorita Maria Montoya Mouse. Would you like to join us?
What I would like is some peace and quiet.
I'm sorry, senor. We are just waiting for my cousin, Slowpoke Rodriguez, to arrive.
And how long is that going to take?
Oh, I don't know. With Slowpoke, you can never tell. It might be 10 minutes, it might be 10 days. Who can say? After all, he is the slowest mouse in all of Mexico.
Oh, I'm stopping this party now. You come here, you mouse, you!
Arriba! Arriba! Andale! Andale!
Oh, what? Hold still!
Hey, Speedy! What's going on? You got the tortillas? You coming back to the fiesta?
In a minute, Jose.
We need more Tabasco sauce, too. Jole, frijole! What are you doing with El Gato?
Get back inside, amigo! Arriba! Arriba!
Hey, everyone! Come look! Speedy's being chased by El Gato, but El Gato will never catch Speedy. Speedy's the fastest mouse in all of Mexico.
Arriba! Epa, epa, andale!
Oh, stop running in circles! You're making my head hurt.
Oh, so sorry, Señor Pussycat, but I cannot play with you anymore. I have to get back to the fiesta. Hasta la vista!
Hey, get back here! Where do you think you're going?
La cucaracha!
Oh, no! Here comes Slowpoke Rodriguez, the slowest mouse in all of Mexico. El Gato will catch him for sure.
La cucaracha.
Oh no, cousin Slowpoke.
Hola, Speedy. I am here.
Look out for El Gato.
Where is El Gato?
Here I am, mouth.
Hola, Señor Pussycat.
Oh, I just need to catch one of you mice to end this party. I think you will do nicely.
Slowpoke, I'm coming to save you.
Gotcha.
Oh, no! El Gato caught Slowpoke! Speedy will save him for sure!
Arriba! Epa! Epa! Andale!
Why is El Gato keeping Slowpoke away from the fiesta? Slowpoke is hungry!
Quiet, mouth! Time to put an end to this little shindig!
Slowpoke, use your powers of hypnosis on El Gato!
Oh, yeah! Okay, Speedy! I do that.
The powers of hypnosis. What a joke. I can't be hypnotized.
Buenas noches, señor Pussycat.
Well done, cousin. El Gato is out like a light.
Slowpoke Rodriguez may be slow downstairs in the feet, but he is fast in the upstairs cabeza where it matters. Can we go to the fiesta now? I'm hungry. Hooray!
We now join Wile E. Coyote and his counterpart, the Roadrunner, who made their debut in 1949.
Meep, meep.
Wile E. Coyote sat at the top of a cliff waiting for his Acme Roadrunner trap to be delivered. He had no way of knowing the shipment he was expecting had fallen off the truck and wouldn't be arriving anytime soon.
Meep, meep.
Through a pair of binoculars, he watched the Roadrunner zipping around the dusty roads.
Meep, meep.
The coyote licked his lips, his stomach growling hungrily. You know, this is breaking the fourth wall and normally a big no-no in theater, but I've always wondered. If the coyote could order products for delivery, why not just order food? Why did he want to catch and eat the Roadrunner anyway?
A legitimate question, dear narrator, which deserves a legitimate answer.
Wait, you can talk?
Of course I can talk. I just choose not to because I'm so much smarter than you cretins. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Wile E. Coyote, super genius, IQ 207. Here's my card.
A card-carrying genius, I see. Do go on.
How little you know about roadrunners. I can understand why you would be puzzled that a person of my obvious intelligence would devote such a large portion of the day to capturing and eating a roadrunner. Allow me to educate you. While the Roadrunner obviously looks skinny, scrawny, unappetizing, and stringy to the untrained eye, let me assure you that this is the farthest thing from the truth. In fact, To a coyote, the consumption of a roadrunner would be the equivalent of a human eating filet mignon, champagne, chocolate fudge, and caviar. Why, I have a recipe book from my mother that has over 400 different ways to serve Roadrunner. Although I must say, my favorite recipe has always been Roadrunner Surprise.
Meep, meep!
Well, surprise! The Roadrunner just got away.
Enough chit-chat. I must get back to work designing the perfect Roadrunner trap. Good day.
And with that abrupt dismissal, we shift our attention away from the dusty roads of the Southwest to a Texas town where oil pumps are visible across the landscape for miles. There is a single hole in the ground which does not have an oil jack above it.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam.
This hole is the current home of Bugs Bunny, and it had come to the attention of one Yosemite Sam, oil baron.
There's a hole out there on my property that ain't a gushing oil. And a hole that ain't a gushing oil in Texas just ain't right.
Sam proceeded to start trucking in dynamite and various supplies to build an oil rig right over the top of the rabbit hole.
What's up, Doc?
What's up is there's a hole that ain't a gushing oil.
This ain't an oil hole, Doc. It's my home.
It's on my property, and I say it's an oil hole. Scram, rabbit.
I don't see your name on the mailbox.
I'm Yosemite Sam, and I own this here land. I'm the rootin'est, tootin'est gunslinger north, south, east, and west of the Pecos. I'm gonna stuff this here hole full of dynamite and blast it until it starts producing oil. Now get out of here, you rassafras and fur-bearing critter, or I'll take it out of your hide.
You just blew up my home!
And it's not a gushing oil. I guess it was just a worthless rabbit hole after all.
Of course you know, this means war.
Just at that moment, the vehicle from the delivery service drove by. Hitting a bump in the road, another two packages fell out.
Funny, I don't remember ordering anything.
Anything delivered here on my land belongs to me, varmint. Give me that box. What in tarnation is that?
It's a frog with a little top hat and a cane.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, come on and tell me I'm your own.
Well, that's something you don't see every day.
I hope this second package has something more useful in it.
What is it? What's in the box?
Get back, you mangy varmint. Let's see, it says, Acme Time and Space Displacer. Patent pending.
That sounds dangerous.
Danger is my middle name, rabbit.
Look at all the buttons. That big red one says caution. Do not push.
Yeah, who cares? So what?
Yeah, just saying. I wouldn't push that button if I were you, Doc.
No long-eared galoot is gonna tell me what button I can or cannot push.
I wouldn't do it.
Oh, yeah?
I'm warning you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, too bad. I'm a pushing the button anyway.
You'll be sorry. Yeah. Not to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Shut up, rabbit. What in tarnation just happened?
I tried to warn you, but did you listen? Oh, no.
Quiet, you varmint. Where the blazes are we?
I don't know, Doc, but I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Hey, why is that dog over there green?
You got me, Doc.
No, no, canine. Oh, I see. Intruders.
What's up, Doc?
What's up is I've just captured my first intruders of the day. Isn't that delightful? Good boy, canine. Well done.
Intruders?
Why, yes. Now get your hands in the air, you intruders, you.
Wait, you mean me and Sam? Intruders? There must be some sort of mistake.
No, I'm pretty sure there isn't any sort of mistake here. Now please put your hands in the air, earth creatures.
You watch your tone with me, short stuff. Who do you think you're talking to me that way, boy?
Boy? Oh, no, no, no. I'm Marvin, Marvin the Martian. I'm in charge of Mars Colony 42 Alpha. And this is my faithful companion, Canine. And you, earth creatures, are now both my prisoners.
Mars?
Prisoners?
Perhaps you have heard of me.
Mars, schmars. Yosemite Sam ain't nobody's prisoner.
Oh, but I do beg to differ.
Oh, yeah?
Why, yes.
Well, how do you plan on stopping me walking away from you right now?
Ah, a demonstration, then.
Yikes!
Like that, with my patented Acme laser disintegration ray. Now be good, little earth creatures, and go lock yourselves in those cages over there. I'm very busy, and these delays are making me angry. Very, very angry. Now, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Now, please get in the cage so I don't need to disintegrate you.
All right. We're going already. Sheesh, what a grouch.
Interest in outer space led to the 1953 episode, Duck Dodgers and the 24th and a Half Century. This show was voted number 4 of the 50 greatest cartoons and won numerous awards. It was also a favorite of director-producer George Lucas, who had wanted the episode to be shown as a trailer before the movie Star Wars. Whoops, got a little caught up there. Let's try this again.
Come in, eager young space cadet. Do you read me? Over.
Eager young space cadet here. I am reading you loud and clear, sir. Over.
Do you see the Martian? Over.
I see the Martian. Yes, sir. I see him. Over.
Does he have the Illudium Q-36 explosive space modulator on him?
I can't say, sir.
Why not?
My view is blocked by the prisoners, sir.
Prisoners?
Yes, sir. Prisoners. Two of them. I think they're from Earth.
Prisoners from Earth? A rescue mission would look great on my resume. Well, eager young space cadet, you know what we must do now.
Rescue the prisoners, sir?
We simply must rescue the prisoners, or my name isn't Duck Dodgers of the 24th and a half century!
Yes, sir. I wouldn't have thought of that, sir. Do we have a plan?
Of course we have a plan, my plucky young space cadet. I always have a plan.
Does your plan involve us being captured, sir?
Hands up, intruders.
Captured? Captured? Why, yes! My very clever and well-thought-out plan does involve us being captured.
Naturally. Oh, what a cute little pooch. Hi, boy. Oh,
you stop fraternizing with the enemy, space cadet.
Sorry, sir.
I said, hands up, earth creatures.
Get that ray gun out of my face, Greenie. Do you know who I am?
No, should I?
Tell him who I am, space cadet.
Why, this is the great... This is the great...
Oh, for goodness sake. You are now facing the great Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
My, isn't that lovely? Now get in the cages.
What? You can't do that. I'm Duck Dodgers.
Ian, no.
Stop petting that dog, space cadet.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. Sorry, pup.
Delays. Guard them, canine. I have much to do. So busy. So very, very busy. Now, where did I put that Illudium P-36 space modulator?
Well, if this isn't a fine how-do-you-do, the great Duck Dodger is locked up like some common criminal.
What's up, Doc?
Oh, right, the prisoners. I almost forgot about them. Fear not, citizen, for I, the great Duck Dodgers, am here to save you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but ain't you a prisoner, too?
It's all part of my master plan.
Really?
Really. Tell him, space cadet.
It's like he said, it's all part of the master plan.
Uh-huh.
I'll prove it to you.
I just need to find my Acme lockpicking kit. Let's see, I've got my Acme cape steamer, my Acme salad fork.
You! You're gonna rescue us.
My Acme portable hole, my Acme ball of rubber bands.
Sir?
Not now, Space Cadet. Let's see, my Acme everlasting gumball collection.
Sir?
I know it's here somewhere.
Would this help, sir?
Maybe it's in my other cape. Hey, what have you got there?
It's your Acme lockpicking kit, sir.
Give me that. I never leave home without my Acme lockpicking kit. Here we go. Let's see. Picking the lock, opening the door, rescuing the prisoners, and away we go! Close the door! Bad dog, bad dog! Let go! That was a close one.
My hero.
Are you...
What a maroon.
Oh, no, I'm fine. It's all part of the plan.
Yes, sir.
Space Cadet... Are you petting that dog again?
Yes, sir. He's actually very friendly, sir. You should come say hi, sir.
The door's open, Duck. We're leaving. Are you coming?
Oh, no, no. You all go on ahead. I'm going to secure this area. Take the dog with you. It's all part of my plan.
Suit yourself, Doc. I need to figure out how to get back home to Oit in my own time.
Oh, that's easy. You just need to talk to that robot, Tweaky, over there.
Why is the robot wearing a name tag that says Dr. Theophilus if its name is Tweaky?
Don't ask me. I just work here.
And so, Bugs went up to the robot.
What's up, Doc?
Beady, 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 beady. Hello.
I'm trying to get home to my own time. Can you help?
Beady, 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 beady. Sure thing. You just need to push the red button on the beady ass Acme time and space displacement unit over there. Beady, beady.
Thanks, Doc.
Beady, 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 beady. Anytime. Before you go, do you think you could take Captain Buck Rogers back with you as well? Beady, beady, he's from your time but refuses to leave. Something about compound interest left in a bank account over beady, 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 a few centuries.
I'm kind of in a hurry to get back, Doc. Maybe another time. You coming, Sam?
I might as well stay here, Rabbit. I heard that robot say something about compound interest. With my investments, I must be a zillionaire in the future.
Suit yourself, Sam. But, coincidentally, Tweaky, if you don't mind my asking, why are you here on a radio show dedicated to Mel Blanc anyway?
Beady, 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 because Mel gave me my voice in Glenn Larson's production of Buck Rogers in the 25th century. He also voiced several known characters such as Toucan Sam, Speed Buggy, beady, 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 Captain Caveman, Barney Rubble, Dino Flintstone, beady, 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 Spacely Sprocket, and Woody Woodpecker.
This is all very interesting and all, but I have a carrot stew calling my name back home. Thanks, Doc.
And so Bugs once again pushed the big red button on the Acme time and space displacement unit, reappearing in a forest. He noticed a sign nailed to a nearby tree.
Uh-oh. Wherever I am now, it looks like it's hunting season.
Just to complicate matters, there was in fact a hunter moving stealthily through the woods at that very moment.
Shh. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits. It's rabbit season.
Yikes!
I know that rabbit is around here somewhere. Look, on the ground, rabbit tracks.
Elmer followed the footprints that Bugs Bunny had made in the muddy ground.
More rabbit tracks. I'll get you this time, you rascally rabbit.
Bugs continued to quietly move away from Elmer. He eventually came to the edge of a train trellis. Bugs had nowhere to go. Elmer spotted him across the train tracks. He slowly raised his gun.
I've got you now, you rabbit, you.
Think fast, rabbit. You don't want to shoot me, Doc.
I don't?
No, of course you don't. What kind of tracks were you following?
Rabbit tracks.
Yes, but what kind of tracks are you following now?
Train tracks?
Train tracks, exactly. Which means you are hunting...
A train.
A train and not a rabbit. Very good. And here comes a train now, right on time.
Oh, I got you now, Twain. Wait a minute. Uh-oh. Oh, I'll get that Wesky Wabbit if it's the last thing I do.
Ain't I a stinker?
And speaking of stinkers, we join up with Pepe Le Pew. We now take you to a cafe in France where a black cat has just rubbed her back against a freshly painted white park bench.
Le mieux, le pur.
She was looking for food from the humans who were eating at the cafe.
Le mieux.
Unfortunately, because she had paint on her back and tail, she now looked exactly like a skunk.
What a cute little... I'm a skunk!
Le pew, ah!
Run away more!
The cat found herself all alone at the cafe, which wasn't a bad thing, since when the humans ran away, they left their sandwiches behind on the tables.
Ooh, le yum!
The cat hopped up on the table and began eating a delicious lunch.
Le munch, le crunch, brrr.
Meanwhile, in a nearby park, a young skunk was enjoying a casual stroll.
While strolling through the park one day, in the very merry month of May.
Not to be that person, but it's not May yet.
Picky, picky, okay. How about this then? Tiptoe through the tulips.
Better.
But what is this I see? Mon petit chéri sits at the cafe yonder waiting for me.
And so across the park the young skunk ran, no longer tippy-toeing through the tulips, but mashing them flat as he made a beeline to the cafe where the cat was sitting.
Bonjour, chéri. It is I, Pepe Le Pew, and I'm a-coming to you now.
The cat, busy munching on a plate of escargot, did not immediately see Pepe.
Le yum.
The skunk approached the table with a freshly picked tulip in hand, but it wasn't the tulip that caught the cat's attention. It was the scent of skunk.
Ah, Le Pew!
Yes, yes, my darling. You know my name. I am Pepe, Pepe Le Pew, and you have won my heart. Now come, together we shall run away to the Casbah.
The tulip in Pepe's hand wilted as the skunk held the flower out to the cat. The odor from the skunk hit the poor cat like a truck hitting jello. Her eyes watered and she backed away with her paw over her nose.
Le pew.
Leaping off the table, the cat ran as fast as she could away from the terrible smell.
My darling, I meant we could run away to the Casbah together. Come back, wait for me. She is fast, no? But Pepe is not discouraged.
At this point in the classic cartoons, we would follow the exploits of Pepe as he chases Penelope Pussycat around the countryside and tries to kiss her. This particular behavior was seen as stalking and led to shows featuring Pepe Le Pew being banned. As such, we now conclude the story with an alternate ending for our modern audiences. Following an appropriate, non-violent, and consensual courtship period, Pepe Le Pew and Penelope Pussycat fell in love. They got married and they lived happily ever after. As we near the end of our show, we come full circle to the character who started it all.
That would be me.
That's right. Porky Pig first appeared on March 2nd, 1935. Porky will be 90 years old in a few weeks.
Happy birthday, Porky Pig!
Isn't that lovely? I don't know what to say.
I suggest saying the line that made you famous.
Oh, right. That's all, folks.
As we come to the end of another episode of Cartoons on the Radio, the 91.1 Players would like to thank you all for joining us on this Saturday morning, enjoying cartoons just like we did every Saturday morning when we were four. As we pay tribute to the man of a thousand voices, the late, great Mel Blanc. Today's performance included the vocal talents of Mike Levita, Siegfried Christoph, Todd Eves, Brett Hodick, Natalie Lavoie, Bonnie Rome, Jess Rockman, Luke Rush, Anne-Marie Schmidt, Cameron Spencer, Dan Still, and Kathy Zolke. Special thanks to our WGTV radio engineer, Dave Janzer, and our sound engineer, Chuck Janzer. And to our live studio audience for joining us. Today's production of Cartoons on the Radio was broadcast live from the Salem Elementary School in beautiful Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. The show was written by Anne-Marie Schmidt in collaboration with Dr. Stephen Brown and is fondly dedicated to the memory of the late Michael Ulstrich. One of the original founding members of the Brown Ulstrich Performing Arts Foundation. Our executive producer is Dr. Stephen Brown, who provided his talents with music and sound effects for this show, as well as many others during our 19-year history of the WGTV Radio Theater. Find us on the web at brownulstripfoundation.org. From all of us here at the Brown Ulstrich Performing Arts Foundation and the WGTV Radio Theater's players, I'm your narrator, Mike Jenkins. Thank you for joining us today.